With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is a product of Ngozi Enterprises via the Beverly Nation. You are listening to Righteous Consciousness, and I am your host, Darlene Lawrence. This is the 354th episode of the Beverly Nation. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what's been placed on my heart. I pray that we receive awareness and understanding, and that we go on to do your work as we rebuild the people and ultimately a nation. In the name of your precious son, Jesus, amen. Good evening, my listeners. Good evening. Tonight, I want to talk to you about some things I've kind of touched on before, but I just want to hit on it again because I don't think I'm going to stop hitting on it until we get to where we have to be with it. Tonight, the topic is, my sister, my brother, have castor oil, will travel. You got to get it together. Now, I say that a little bit out of turn, but it's because the way that I feel about it. It is so much that is going on in this world. As this world continues to spin on its axis, there are so many things that are going on, and there are some things that are purposely put in place as a decoy to keep our attention away from the things that are actually happening in this world. As I've said many times before, we are the queens, governors, powerful women, and men of color. A dignified people is what we are. You know, we have the intellect, the strength, the physical beauty, and endowment. Are we worth our own self-respect? We've endured through our struggles, yet this world still look at us as second-rate citizens. We don't have to be stigmatized by our shortcomings or the lack of money. We don't have to go through those things. What we have to do has come to a full understanding of who we are, where we need to go, and what we need to stop doing. Now, while so many of our young people demand a phony sense of respect, let me give you a perfect example of that. Someone YouTubed, and I think I may have spoke about this a little bit on a previous show, but someone YouTubed a young lady. I guess she was somewhere in her late teens, early 20s maybe. She was on a SEPTA bus in Philadelphia, and she was into this altercation with another young lady where they were arguing, and she kept telling the person, "You disrespected me in front of my baby." Now, on her lap was a little baby, little girl. I would say the child wasn't much more than a year old. But this child sitting on her lap, and she's this child's mother, and she's cussing up a storm at this other person arguing. And this thing gets so heated. It's on YouTube. If anybody want to look at it, just look at a woman throws a baby on bus. Okay, look that up on YouTube. You'll see it for yourself. But she takes her baby out of just the anger, the heat of her anger. And she throws that baby across the aisle into some stranger's lab. I'm taking it as a stranger. So they break out into this big-time fight. I mean, one of those knock-down, stomp-them-down type of fight. Okay, now, she's busy hollering that you're disrespecting me in front of my baby. What kind of crazy stuff is that? Can you believe something like that? You want to throw your baby across the doggone aisle into a stranger's lap so you can go pounce on somebody else and go into a stomp-them-down fight? It pains me. I hurt when I see my people conduct themselves that way. It's not something that we should be doing. There is so much that is going on right up under our noses, and yet we don't get it. Now, as she's screaming and hollering and everything, and, you know, and that's the other thing, you know, cameras. People put this stuff that actually happens on YouTube. This is just crazy. We are broadcasting from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. And the number to call in is 347-202-0392. We're going to be talking about quite a few things, but it's a part that I want to kind of stop and concentrate on. But before I get to that, I want to talk about another example. That example kind of lead me to talk about the political process. And what's happened, not just the process, but what's happened politically. And, again, another step to the bus, caught on a camera. I don't know why these people, I mean, we got these smartphones, and you could do all kinds of stuff. You could take the picture. You could film the camera, film the episode, whatever's going on, load it right up on the YouTube, and your whole life is playing right out there before the whole world is seeing you acting the damn fool. This woman was using her seat like a toilet. I mean, when this thing first came on, it wasn't blocked. You saw everything, panties down, the whole pants down, the whole thing. She wipes herself and the whole bit. Sits down on the bus in the same spot that she just urinated all on. Now, I think most people listening tonight would say, well, you know, she must have a little MR, a little mental health issue or whatever. And I got to say, other than having no self-respect, and maybe that's why she didn't have it, but when I look at this, the sore spot for me is that it is a problem with mental health, not only in this state and the whole country. It's a mental health issue that's going on because the lawmakers don't think that it is important to fund mental health. Now, the governor, the current governor of this state, Pennsylvania, he rejected the Medicaid expansion. And in other words, that's money that could have provided services to help people that may have those types of problems. But that's not something that he really feel a need or that is necessary. Well, I'm sure there are many, many more examples of these types of things. But what I really want to get at is this is not by coincidence. This is by design. We live in a country right now where what is going on with us, we are dealing with so many different issues. Joblessness, unemployment, we're dealing with homelessness, we're dealing with so many issues. And then we got, with all on top of that, we have our own, and within our own community, people that are walking around with a phony sense of what pride and respect is about. But while all this is going on, the prison industry, big business. And I do believe it is also a new form of slavery. Now, I'm going to say it, and I want everybody to understand it and hear it, because that's exactly what it is. Human rights organizations, as well as political and social organizations, are condemning what they are calling a new form of inhumane exploitation in this country. So we have human rights organizations and some political and social organizations that say, hey, this is wrong. Now, the organization which I work, we look at it in that way also, okay, because I'm going to tell you what's happening. The prison population is a staggering more than 2 million inmates in state, federal, and private prisons. And mostly blacks and Hispanics are the population. They are the ones that are housed in these prisons. They're working for various industries for pentance. Now, if you want to know what pentance are, and I ain't talking nobody don't know what it is. Pentance is a very nominal, very small fee. And in their particular case, in a prison, about 25 cents an hour. Pentance. Because it ain't nothing about, and I'm saying ain't, because I feel that kind of passionate about this. It's not about a minimum wage. It's not about workers' rights. It's none of those things. Tycoons have invested in the prison industry. Now, for them, industry has become a cash cow. It is a pot of gold, if you will. I mean, money, 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 money. That's what it is for the rich. They're making money. There are private prisons in this country. Okay, private prisons in this country. You know, these private prisons, even the state-owned, federal, all those prisons, they don't have to worry about strikes or paying unemployment insurance. They don't have to worry about comp time. They don't have to worry about overtime. They don't have to worry about vacation and sick time. No, 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 no. They don't have to worry about none of that. You know why? My brothers, and my sisters, okay, why they don't have to worry about it? And that is what really pained me. All the workers are full-time. And listen, they don't have to worry about arriving at work on time or calling out because you live at the company, the prison. You're in there. You do things thoughtless, not considering the outcome, what's going to happen. And I see some of the most ridiculous things that on the news. Now, you already know. You won't walk in the bank and rob the bank without a mask on, cameras everywhere, bam. Don't you think they're going to catch you eventually? Are you really that good? Do you think that you can just get away with stuff? Well, guess what? They got that out there waiting for you, and the more gullible you are the target. You are the one. You know, in these prisons, there's no negotiation. Your hourly pay is 25 cents an hour. And guess what? If you decide on a work stoppage, a slowdown, or, I'm not going today, you're going to be on lockdown and isolation. In other words, every right that you had out here on the street when life you thought was so bad that you had to make certain decisions, every single idea that you have, guess what? Inside those four walls that you'll be in, you are nobody but a number. You are just a number. A California prison focus group says, no other society in human history has imprisoned so many of its own citizens. The United States has incarcerated so many people more than any other country. What any other country? Now, if you can't understand that, if you cannot understand that the United States is imprisoning people in record numbers, you know, I mean, I look back at some of the shows I used to watch growing up. I'm going to date myself. I don't care. I used to watch Dragnet, you know, Hawaii Five-0, some of the cop shows. I grew up with all that kind of stuff. But then watching those shows back then, you know, it was always some type of positive ending at the end. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, my brothers and my sisters, there is no positive ending at the end for yourself if you get caught up in this system. It is designed, and I said it, it is designed to keep you there because it is slave labor. It is big money in prisons. Now, this country has incarcerated 1 million more people than China. And China has a population 5 times more this country. So now we got about 2 million people, and the majority of them are black and brown that are in the prisons. China has a population 5 times more than us, yet it has 1 million less people in its prison system. Hey, is anybody out there thinking about this? Are these numbers staggering to you? Should you feel that you should have some concern, some kind of thought about what is going on? Well, you should, because it goes a whole lot deeper than that. Now, again, the number to call in, we are broadcasting from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. And if you would like to discuss this topic with me tonight, I would love to talk to you, to rap with you about it. If you have anything that you can share on this issue, I want to hear your thoughts tonight. So I say to my brother and my sister that is out there thinking that, hey, you know, they got all the time in the world to do what they want to do, especially young folks, they get into this thing, well, if I make my mistakes, you know, everybody got to learn from their mistakes. Yeah, everybody does learn from mistakes, but you don't have to be a fool. If someone that has already walked the miles before you and know where the road is going is going to tell you where you're walking is going to lead you to the road that you don't want to be on, yet you want to walk that road anyway? Well, guess what? You need to walk that road, okay? You need to walk it because you're being downright foolish at that point. You should not have to, if somebody is telling you, you know, this is going to lead you in a negative direction, that's the problem. You don't want to listen. You want to do what you want to do. We are supposed to be about helping each other, taking care of what we need to take care of with each other. And that's why I'm on here tonight talking about this subject, because it is alarming. It is hurtful when I see how we disrespect ourselves, how we disrespect our families, our communities. But there's an even bigger picture straight up ahead, bigger picture. And that is, in the final analysis, there is a system that is put in place that will get the labor out of you. That this world, that, you know, we got this unemployment rate, big time unemployment rate out. I mean, it's dropping, has gone down some, but yet it's still an unemployment rate that we have out there. And the truth of the matter is they got a place, they got a way to help you fix that. You know, keep on doing your foolishness, and guess where you're going to end up at, okay? And now, when I look at the U.S. statistics, they say it holds 25% of the world's prison population by only 5% of the world's people. Wow. That's scary. You know, and guess what? We all should be scared about that. That is a staggering statistic when you think about that. The privatization of prison is not exactly new. Oh, no. It actually began around 1980 under the Reagan administration. And then under the Clinton administration, it was noted to be a growing industry during those years under Clinton. And about 10 years ago, there were 5 private. Now, you got to understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about private prisons right now. There were 5 private prisons in the country with a population of 2,000 inmates. This was about 10 years ago. Now there are about 100 private prisons with about 62,000 just in the private. Now, we're not talking about state, county, federal. We're talking about private prisons. That is an industry that a lot of people, they haven't even stopped to blink their eye to understand about these private prisons. And I'm going to tell you something. It is very shocking and alarming how many people invest into them. Big-time Wall Street investors invest in these prisons. So I ask, what happened over the last 10 years? The private contracting of prisoners for work fosters incentives to lock people up. Prisons depend on this income. Stockholders who make money off of prisoners work lobby for longer sentences. They lobby for longer sentences in order to expand their workforce. Now, you know, this is the part that really, really get me. And this, the Progressive Labor Party basically said this statement, made this statement. And they also say in the study that the system feeds itself, PLP says that, it feeds itself. So they get, you know, they lobby to get longer sentences. They lobby to get more ridiculous laws or whatever, and to get people held in prison. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. You may not think I am, but I'm going somewhere with this tonight. And I do hope that you all are out there. You want to have a conversation on this because this is very real, very, very real. We are broadcasting from Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call tonight is 347-202-0392. Now, this is the information I'm giving you. I call this castor oil because somebody better wake up and move that foolishness right on out your system so you can see where you're going, so you can understand what is going on. We have men that need to be fathers to their children. We have women that need to be mothers to their children. It is definitely an attack on the, and I hate to say the word minority because that's what the choice that the world like to call it, but the black and the brown people are considered that. And this is not just about black and brown. Trust me, it's not. But when you look at the staggering numbers of the black and brown brothers and sisters that are in these prisons, then you got to understand why I'm talking about this subject tonight. Because ultimately, the plan is to end you up right there. Now, the PLP, the Progressive Labor Party, they also accuse the prison industry of, and I got to agree with them, an imitation of Nazi Germany with respect to forced labor and concentration camps. Now, what is this new modern-day prison but a concentration camp? They constantly, and in my state, and in so many states, and I will say in predominantly states where there are Republican governors, there are problems with the public school system. Two link hand in hand, and we will get there, and we will discuss that just as well. The prison industry is entwined with Wall Street. Now, I hope people don't, you know, think that, you know, Wall Street don't have a hand to play with this, play in this, because they definitely do, okay? They are the investors in these private prisons. They are the ones that are putting money into it. I mean, just think about it. You get somebody to make your whatever it is that you're manufacturing, and whatever you're doing, and 25 cents an hour, and you don't have to pay sick time, comp time, overtime, any kind of time. And there's not no, oh, they didn't come into work today, they late again. Oh, no. You already there. And if you're not doing whatever it is that you assigned or supposed to be doing or refusing to do it, you got a way of dealing with that. Lockdown, lockup, isolation, whatever. But they got a way of dealing with that. The bottom line is that if your situation is heinous enough, you will be doing this for the rest of your life. It is a modern day slavery to anyone that's caught up in that type of a system. So I say, you know, it's crazy. It's really crazy. This multi-million dollar industry has its own trade exhibitions, has its own conventions, their own websites. They have mail order and internet catalogs. We talking about prison here. I guess that don't sound like prison to some people. It sounds like business. It sounds like Wall Street. It sounds like somebody trying to make some money. It also has direct advertising campaigns, architecture companies, food supply companies, armed security, and padded cells in a large variety of colors. Now, isn't that cozy for you? Because they don't care. Once you do something and you fall into that particular situation and you in it, guess what? You ain't going nowhere, so I guess they will give you a padded cell in a variety of colors, okay? And some people, I mean, some people become institutionalized, and I know many of you heard that term already, but many of you become so institutionalized that you think that it's a good thing. You think that it's a wonderful thing. It's not a good or wonderful thing. It's not what we should be wanting to look forward to. Not when we are a dignified people that came from kings and queens, that are intellectually equipped. We might need a little bit of help in some areas, but many do. Okay? But this is not the way. This is not where we should be going. Now, my brothers and my sisters, do you really see why we have to get it together? Do you see that? It is something out here that is not. I mean, now, don't get me wrong now. Some folks belong in there. You molest a little child or do whatever it is that is really a heinous crime. That's one thing. But they're locking people up for stuff and giving them longer sentences, and they should not have to be locked up for that. But the reason being is because while you are there, you want to have a little bit of slave labor. You won't be doing it. Now, I see I have a caller on line one. Caller, are you there? Caller on line one?
Try to get them on right now, Darlene. Hold on 1 second. And right now, you're telling them like it is, my sister, and that's what it's all about. We gotta make sure that people understand what is going on in this life. And if they don't, they're going to know tonight. So as I'm trying to get the caller on, keep on talking.
Okay. So now, you know, like I said, you know, we have to get it together. We have to, and there is no other way, none, okay? No other way that we have to do it but face the real true issues that we are dealing with as a people, the real true issues. And one, there is definitely an attack. You know, this whole thing is not, you know, about this privatization of prisons and all that stuff is not just, this is just happening. No. This has been a plan, okay? It's been a plan. We have a failing school system. You have to understand, this is where I'm going with this, and I will say, I will be doing a part two of this, but we have a failing.
I'm going to tell you something. Hello? Before you do a part two. Your caller is on right now. Hello, world. Hello, world. Ola Deli Radio, and here you go. Here's caller number one for you, Miss Darlene Lawrence. Caller number one, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, everybody. This is lovely Ellis.
Oh,
my sister.
My darling. Oh, it's so good hearing your voice.
It's definitely great to hear yours, and I'm so sorry that I'm tuning in late. I had a graduation today. I have another one this Friday with my oldest son, so I'm tuning in late, but I just wanted to tell you that with what I've heard so far and just the passion and everything that you still put on the air, I haven't heard you in a while, but I just want to let you know it's great to hear you, and I'm glad to be back listening and tuning in and everything. But my sister, you are awesome, and I love to hear the fire and the passion in your topic and what you're talking about, and I'm just so glad to hear you. So I just wanted to give you a
shout out,
show you some love, and let you know I'm
here.
Keep doing what you're doing, my sister.
You the same thing, my sister, and congratulations to the graduates. And my sister, you're doing a wonderful job with those little young men. You know what to do. Keep them right where you got them going, you know, because this is some serious stuff. I hope you let them listen to the archive sometime on this show so that they can, you know, they can understand this because our young people really have to understand this. Our young people do some really ridiculous, you know, a lot of them, they do some things just without thinking. And, I mean, that is part of being young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do things without thinking, but we ain't got time to do things without thinking anymore because of the powers that be that want to take advantage of us. So I do appreciate you calling in the show tonight.
Yes, and
listening, and like I said, it's so good hearing your voice.
Thank you. It's great to hear yours. I love you,
I love you too, my sister. That is my sister, Ms. Lovely Ellis. None other but Philly's finest diva. Now, I just want to get back to, as we talk about what's going on in this failing school system. And it's not like it's one school that's going bad, two schools that's going bad. It's nationwide, but it is predominantly where there are presiding a Republican governor, okay? Predominantly there. I'm not saying it's just there, but it is predominantly there. And there is so many reasons for that, okay, because of the agenda of the Republican is about big business and money. They tied into Wall Street. They care about the 1%. They are the 1%. They don't care nothing about the 99. And that's the problem right here with what's going on with the privatization of prison. Okay? That is just one thing. I speak of the privatization of prison because I really want my listeners to understand and grasp tonight that it's not just about the state prisons and the federal and the local county prisons or whatever. You got prisons that are owned by tycoons. I can roll off a couple of names, but guess what? Maybe we'll do that on the next show. We'll talk about who has stake in some of these problems. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you find out who has stake in some of these public prisons, you're going to be surprised because some of them are sports figures that we look up to, that our young people look up to, okay? It's an investment. It's about money, and that's wrong. That's inhumane, and it is wrong. But what is happening and why it's set up to be that way, about money and everything, like I said, what are they looking for? They're looking for people to fill those cells. Just like an employer build one of those great big beautiful buildings, they're building that new Comcast building and everything over $1 billion or some odd, whatever it's going to cost. And they're going to look for people to fill it. They may even want to rent out office space. That's all about business. It's all about money. Well, that's the same thing that's going on with these private prisons that our young people are having to take residence in because of their foolish acts, both male and female. And some of it is not just about foolish acts. Some of it is because there are real live mental health issues that are not being given the proper attention or services because of the cut in funding. Okay, so a lot of it is not just, you know, and then somebody goes off and do something really bad, and then, you know, they catch the person. I remember, I guess it was last year, this guy, he had on a Eagles jacket, and, you know, he did all these crimes in Center City. And they, like, put the cameras on him, and they found him walking down the street in the same jacket, and they caught the guy. Well, they found that later, the guy had mental problems. Now, that's a big issue. But guess what? They can still take a mental person, put him in a prison. If nobody is really there to stand up, speak up, and advocate for his or her rights and put them in one of those prisons, and they know how to string beads or pale potatoes or whatever it is that they can get 25 cents an hour for their labor, they can show them to do something. And it's just what you have to understand. It's about money and nothing else. And that money is not about money going in your pocket. It's about money coming out of your pocket and into big business. You're not making anything off of it. In fact, you've damned your life. And I'm going to say it just like that. Okay? By doing foolish, ridiculous stuff. Now, I keep trying to get to this part with the education. And we've talked about it before. The state looks at your third grade report cards and test scores to determine how many prisons now and how big to build a prison and just where the prison should be built. And they usually look at it within a 10-year time span because you'll be just right. Third grade, 10 years, you'll be just right to be an adult in prison. And now we're talking about even younger people being sentenced under adult. As an adult. So we're seeing that. We're seeing that this is an issue. We're seeing that they're lowering. They're having less tolerance for younger people that are committing these heinous crimes, charging them like they are adults. Now, what do you think they're going to do with them? Put them in one of those prisons. And they're going to get cheap labor out of them. Cheap labor. Okay? It is just as I said, it is like a concentration camp. Now, the privatization of prisons, they boom. Now, one more thing I wanted to say, too, about the prisons. Why do we think prisons have become more important than public education? It's no money in it. There's no money in public education. There ain't no money in that. Okay? Teachers come, they complain about, you know, they didn't get a raise and this, that, and the other. And right now they're really trying to break down the AFT and the PFT teachers union, wanting to take away tenure. And tenure, I think, is important, but I do think that you should be doing the work that you should be doing to educate and inform and get our children ready for life skills. And that's another thing, too. And I've talked about this in other shows. The basic education, that's one thing. But they've basically taken out a lot of programs that do prepare our young people for life with life skills. I've said it many times before, once again, but when I was in home economics, seventh grade, the first part from September to December, we learned how to make an apron. From January to June, we cooked and used the apron, okay? So we had sewing the first part. The second part, we had cooking class. That was the female. The guys had wood shop, electric shop, metal shop, things to teach you how to do things, how to wire, put a light switch in, you know, how electricity work in your house. So you have some type of idea of how to do some hands-on type things. No, they want you ignorant to all that stuff now. And they hide it under the band-aid, but we don't have funding. We just don't have any more funding. That's the big band-aid that is slapped on the real reason. They don't want you to know that because they want you to fail. They want you to fail. Plain and simple. It is a big thing for your failure because there is another plan for you not to succeed. So when I see young people graduating, and we're looking at that now, my grandson, he's graduating on Wednesday. And when I look at young people graduating, I am so proud when they take that step, one foot in front of the other, to do something positive with their lives. They just got to keep it going. Keep it going. You know, everybody is not going to go to college. Okay, I would love it if everybody did. But everybody's not going to go. To go to some type of a trade school, to do something specified so you can make a decent living for yourself. Because they're really counting on you to fail. Fail big time. And like I said, there's no money in education. You know, that gold mine is the prison. And that is what Wall Street is counting on and banking on. You got more people of that 1% that's probably praying, okay, and their twisted, contorted idea that you fail. I'll never forget that time. I'll never get that time Rush Limbaugh said, "I hope the president fail." Who prays for somebody to fail? But trust me, if he said that, if he opened up his big mouth and slapped those words out, "I hope the president fail," guess what? There's people that hope you, me, and anybody else to look anywhere like us. There's people that wanting us to fail too. So I'm telling you, you out there, you listening, and you haven't decided, well, you know, I still got time. I'm young. You know, I made a few mistakes here and there, but, you know, I got a way to get around the system. Guess what? Here's your castor oil tonight, okay? Cut it out. Knock it off. Get with the program and understand. Understand there is something for you, and it is not what you want it to be. What this country had for you, it's not what you want. It is what this society wants. Now, once again, I'm going to say we are broadcasting out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to call is 347-202-0392. Now, back to what we're discussing tonight. We're talking about why your education, the education of your children, and I think about that cute little baby that got thrown across the seat so the mom could jump into a dog fight. Okay, that cute, sweet little baby, it's about where her life may end up. Okay, it is where your children, grandchildren, it is where our families may end if we don't get it together, if we don't stop and think about what is really going on, not just stop and think, but act. Do things that are productive in your life. Don't get caught up into what this world, all this fakeness in this world. This world wants to sidetrack you into the glitz and glamour, into what's going on, what's supposed to seem good. Oh, God, just got a brain freeze. Thought about it. Reality shows, okay? The Bad Girls Club. Why do you want to watch that? There's nothing productive in that. Oh, it's just entertaining. But it's not entertaining to me when I see young, attractive women fighting each other and carrying on and just planning and conspiring and having no respect for themselves or for the other person. That's horrible. When I see young men walking around, I know this may not seem all that big time, but it's just a going on thing. I mean, we talk about, us old heads, we do talk about how the guys walk around with their pants hanging down. But it looks like I see more and more and more young men walking around with the whole draw. If they didn't have some doggone draw on, you will see their complete and total behind. I don't want to see that. Who wants to see that? Have some self-respect for yourself and pull your pants up. Stop that. You got yourself all tatted up all over the place. Why you got a tattoo your face? Why you got a tattoo around your neck and your and everything? Now go get a job. And you all tatted all over the place. You're not preparing for a serious future. So guess what? While you behind them walls, and I do pray nobody that is listening to this gets into that situation. But if you are in that situation or that kind of a situation, when you get behind them walls, they don't care what kind of tattoos you have all over yourself. They don't want you there for that. They want you there for cheap labor. And you can't get any cheaper than 25 cents an hour. Okay? You can't get, well, I guess maybe if they want to, they probably could. But they are doing what? They are providing you with three hots and a cot. And they feel like that's their only rightful duty that they need to do. Now, the rich continue to get rich and the poor even poorer. Okay? They're making this money. We are not getting proper education in our communities, public education in our communities. And as a result, we got young people that are headed in a direction, misguided, to what is going to be the ending of their lives, any type of productiveness to themselves, only production for these rich folks that have these prisons and have money invested in them. That's what's happening. That's real. That is dead real. And I'm tired of seeing my people always being the target. When I say my people, I am talking about the people that have the small voice. Not that we can't talk loud now, but the people that don't have the long dollar. And we, in order to get heard, we got to stand together in order to be heard. So, again, I've talked about some issues before, and one of my whole things is the King Alfred Plan. I've spoke of this before. Folks like to say, oh, the King Alfred Plan, that's just a, that's not a real plan, it's fictional. That's what I hear from time to time. Or it's a fictional plan. No. I think that it's more. They say fiction because they don't want to cause any real, you know, anybody to really put it under the microscope and take a look at it and dissect it. Now, right now, I want to congratulate 40,000 people calling by connections on the show. 41, is it 41,334? My goodness. I say this. I love my ministry in the Beverly Nation. I love being able to talk to you all on these issues that are so real. And I do thank you all for calling in, listening in, whatever way you're connected in. Now, I see right now I have a caller online to my sister, Ms. Antonio Beck. You there,
how
girl?
Hey, this, no, as usual, it's always good to talk to you. And it was wonderful to hear from lovely Ellison the accomplishments of her children thanks to her perseverance. But I just wanted to say, I hope I don't say too much. Darlene, I tell you, you have just such a beautiful calling because you care about people and because I gather you take them on as your community, not just only in your neighborhood, but all over the nation. Yeah. And I wanted to say congratulations on having a caring heart in this day of times of reality shows and more crazy behind tattoos that look like make people look like walking billboards.
Right.
So,
God bless. Ooh, that's a great way to describe it. I like that.
Thank you, honey. I mean it because it's about time someone spoke up and told the truth about that issue, about those crazy behind tattooings and the reality shows. It's amazing. Do these young women realize they're putting money into the pockets, and I'm not saying they're wrong for putting money into the pockets of people who perform them some source of entertainment, but do they realize they will never get a chance to live high on the horse like these young women who put their business out there like that?
Right.
So, you know, with you making a difference and telling them what their destiny will be, if they could keep going in a direction of thinking life is one great big party without wanting to take on some degree of responsibility for themselves and their family and for the people in the community, I have to say you did a really good job in saying it for those who you really feel sincerely advocating for on their behalf. Or as a matter of fact, you called Ngozi the next Martin Luther King. Well, you must be Coretta Scott King, that is, because, hey, look, you stay the course. There's a group called Action United who this
I'm aware.
Winter,
I work with them.
Oh,
I
wonderful.
I work with them, yes. Very aware
okay.
of Action United.
I hear you. Well, 8:30 from Wednesday morning, they're going to be
uh-huh.
down at City Hall, and they're going to speak in behalf of having their dollars to be restored on behalf of the public school children
yeah.
to be able to continue life as they knew it so that they can get some degree of an education that hopefully will allow them to benefit from the society that their parents and their
mm-hmm.
foreparents have paid into. So I just thought I'd drop that your way. And it's always good to hear from you, Darlene. And you keep
yes.
staying the course. And I thank Ngozi for having discovered you, because he couldn't have asked for a better person to cover this subject. And
oh,
God bless you, lovely, and all the other hosts and all the people out there who chose to call you up when they could have been doing so many other things. I mean,
yeah.
that passed 44,000-plus people. I tell you, it only goes to show you there are a lot more intelligent people out there than people give them credit for. I don't care what neighborhoods they come from. Thank you very much, and you have a wonderful night, Darlene.
Thank you so much for your calling in, your support and everything, and I can't wait to hear you back on again. So, you know, you're definitely one of my favorite hosts. I love all my brothers and my sisters, to tell the truth, because the Beverly Nation under Mr. Ngozi Enterprises, we are, I mean, God had just connected us up, and when God got his hand on it, putting it all together, guess what? Nothing can go wrong. So I think all of my fellow hosts, their support, their what they bring to the nation and the whole bit. Right now, it is Mr. Ngozi time. You there, my producer?
Well, first of all, I want to thank God for what he's done for us and what he continues to do for us on a constant basis. Darlene, your first 40,000 connection show. I'm very proud of you, very proud of the franchise that is Righteous Consciousness, and I'm just ecstatic about that. And just like all of our hosts, you know, you give back to the relevancy of good broadcasting, good journalism. We've had some hellified shows for the last week, and we had some record-breaking shows, and I want to just congratulate you on the first 40,000 show in the history of this franchise. It is Righteous Consciousness. And, you know, of course, you know, we have something that's called the Chicago Initiative for Inner-City Children to Stop the Violence. And, of course, I traveled to the city of Big Shoulders, the Windy City, last month, and I stayed in Roseland. I stayed in Inglewood. I stayed, in the south central areas of Chicago. The roughest of ghettos and so-called ghettos, you know. And we did some work, some great work that God has ordained.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's
yeah.
called the Philadelphia Initiative. I'll be meeting with the media, KYW News Radio here in Philadelphia, and other outlets. We'll be meeting on Wednesday. And it'll be at the Black and Noble Bookstore at 7:30.
Yeah,
I'll be one of the panelists for what we're doing on the 28th of this month of what the Philadelphia Initiative is. And this is what it is: support for all of our children in the struggle for continual genocide in all inner cities. Two, outreach for all gang warriors through job fairs and training and development and the opening of employment through all African-American businesses. We can't help. We don't want no one else's help. We want to help. We want to help ourselves. We don't want anybody else. We want black people to help black people. Solely for all at-risk men of working age and convicts, as well as women of working age and ex-convict females. Number three, support for all of our women, from the elderly to our babies, with training through all civic and spiritual organizations, teaching, parenting, teaching relationship counseling, and prime of life care for our elderly mothers. Four, donations to our organizations, all organizations, dedicated to helping all foster care programs and parenting initiatives. Five, private funding for all inner-city public schools from our industry. I'm calling out all to so-called successful black people, career professionals, grants, okay, entertainers, media, athletes, the NAACP through the Congressional Black Caucuses. Yeah, I'm calling you out. Yeah, yeah, we need to help each other. Stop being scared, okay? You know, mm-hmm. You know what's funny? The person that's the most appalling is the person who switches after they get a little bit of money. And you switch on our people, and the reason why we're in the situation we are now. Number five, support for all alternative learning after school, after high school. Now, I'm not knocking all the collegians out there, okay? But we need to turn to what Ricky R. Jones does so well as an educator of technical schools, okay, and apprenticeship to build experiences in trade so that all people, no matter what their background and work, not just in the United States of America, but around the world, taking full advantage of the North American Fair Trade Agreement. Number six, support all efforts. And this is my biggest thing. This is what I fight for all the time when we do it. Support all efforts for community togetherness through annual coordinated Stop the Violence block parties and cookouts in every city, supporting Ancestry.com for discovering family history as far back as they can to promote pride and garner as many family reunions as possible, to recruit the elders of the family and to teach and tell their stories of ancestors long ago, and to also promote in oneself to achieve and give back. Number seven, support and donate to all inner-city recreation centers so they can have dance sessions and so our children can exercise, Darlene, and learn in peace with protection provided by special agent volunteers and police force volunteers to clean up and mow our inner-city baseball fields and for volunteers to maintain and teach athletics the right way. That's a simple initiative. This is something that we can do. Anyone who wants to support us, you know, oladele.ngozi@my.com. Please, please, please be free. That is oladele.ngozi@my.com. And I'm so proud of what we have done and what God is doing, and the pleasure. It's my pleasure to say what the Almighty is doing for us. You know, a lot of times people get on here and they talk about, you know, how well they can talk on the mic and what they do. And listen, we don't care what you do. If it ain't about God, who cares? We do not care what you do in this life. If it's not God-driven, we don't want it. Let me explain something also to you. Don't give unto us unless you are given unto God. We're trying to save kids. We're trying to save our future. This is what Darlene talked about. Do you understand what's coming out of my mouth? Okay? Ola Deli told you so. Bevy Nation is advertising through Ola Deli and Gozi Enterprises. You can reach us at thebevelynation.vpweb.com, as well as we're on the BevNet on Twitter. We are Beverly_Nation on Instagram, and we are simply Ngozi, as well as the great, great, great franchise that is the Beverly Nation on Blog Talk Radio, on the greatest social media arm in the universe, and it is Facebook. I'm not going to talk long tonight because there's no need. I said everything I wanted to say. You know me, don't you? I'm the mother and father's favorite producer. Don't you know me? This is the 354th episode that I produced. Don't you know me? But if you don't know me, I'm Odele Mawela Ngozi, saying good night and good luck. And for the next 2 minutes, why don't you just try to listen to Darlene of the Lawrence family. Oh, by the way, Peripheral Vision will be on tomorrow. 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time on the one and only Beverly Nation. How about Darlene Lawrence taking us home? How about that?
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Ngozi. Thank you for everything. He's a wonderful producer. But just before our producer came on, I was just speaking about the King Alfred Plan. And I'm going to get more into that topic in the next time that we get together on this, because like I said, this is a two-parter. Got a whole lot more castor oil. You can't just take castor oil in one round when you got a big cleaning out to do. So I'm going to say to you all right now, hang tight, hold on to your hat, because I got some more for you, a whole lot more. I want to be a part, driven by God, to help, as I say in my prayer, to rebuild a people and ultimately a nation. That is my work. That is what this is all about. You know, I'm not trying to hold anybody's hand or make anything all nice and sweet, because we got too much work to do. You heard my brother talk about the Philadelphia Initiative. You heard my brother talk about what we have before us. It's not easy work, but it's necessary, and it's work that we must do. It is work that is very, very much needed. So I will say to you all, and I'm going to take my producer's words, I'm going to say good night and good luck, and I will be picking this back up with you again on the next time you are listening to Righteous Consciousness by Darlene Norris. You all have a wonderful night. Good night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.